Hello, welcome to the Status Quo Podcast with your host, Israel Figueroa. And today, I am very privileged to have a special guest on the show. You know, let her introduce herself now.
Hello, I'm happy to be here. My name is Madeline.
So guys, let's give a big shout out to Madeline for taking the time out of her day and her, you know, busy schedule to set some time aside for me to be a guest on my podcast. So, you know, shout out to her. Thank you, Madeline.
Of course. Happy to be here.
So, the reason I wanted to bring her on the podcast today and, you know, part of my purpose and, you know, the project goal with all these conversations that I am having on here is she was very instrumental in kind of forming this idea that this was a subject that I wanted to, you know, bring more awareness to. So, first, I just want to say thank you, Madeline. You've been an instrumental part in my, I would say, awareness and overall my desire to make this a conversational point. So thank you.
Of course. I'm happy to help you open your eyes to certain situations in today's society.
Yeah. So as we know, this is a podcast that I like to cover the difficulties and just overall how life as a woman, can be so difficult and challenging. And what I think what makes this podcast very, very special is that I am seeing it from a perspective as a man. So to have a woman on here today to kind of share and, you know, talk about some things that we can both give our perspectives on is going to be really, really interesting. So I hope we get some good conversations out of it. So first thing, Madeline, a big thing that I've been preaching on my few podcast episodes that I've had is how unaware men are to the challenges that women face on the daily. Now, I'm speaking from a privileged perspective where a lot of the daily challenges that women face are particular to women. So as a man, you naturally don't see them because you don't experience them. But I also feel like a big part of it is men are not great listeners. Especially when it comes to things or actions that don't really affect them directly. So, you know, you have a great perspective to offer as you are actually a woman that has experienced these situations and these behaviors and these stigmas. So I kind of want you to kind of share just some real life experiences where you feel that it could be hard as a man to kind of understand or relate to on your day-to-day life. It might not be something, you know, super personal or super, you know, severe, but just overall, you know, I feel like it would be meaningful for you as a woman to kind of share some experiences that you feel like can be kind of hard to relate to from a man's point of view.
I don't even know where to start because I feel like as a woman, there's things that we don't even think about, even as women, that are built around men and society and architecture and cars and safety and healthcare. Pretty much in every single category, there is differences in our life that we don't even think about. I didn't even realize until I started reading this book recently titled The Invisible Woman, and that is by Caroline Perez. And it talks about things such as even the thermostat in the room is set to a male's baseline body temperature, not a female's, and the height of cabinets and things. Just little things throughout your day that you definitely don't think about and that we don't even realize that we may be struggling with. Like the phone that I'm holding in my hand right now is built for your hands and not my hands. And most women don't even realize that themselves either. So I think the importance of podcasts like this is the importance of educating men and women on these issues.
Well, I want to thank you for bringing up the book because this is a source of research that I have used. And if you haven't read the book, guys, it's called The Invisible Woman. She mentioned by author Perez. It basically explains data, the bias in data for a world that is designed for men. So, you know, part of my project title or name is, you know, the status quo, a man and a woman in a man's world. And we hear that phrase used very lightly, or I guess used so much that it kind of becomes numb to it. Like, oh, a man's world. Yeah, yeah. But this book gives you so much data and so much insight into how it really is a world and everything that, you know, is occurring in the daily life for most people, for everyone, is built around men, their needs, accommodations for men. So I wanted to bring Madeline on here because she was the one that introduced this book to me, and I've read it, and it was a big, big part of my project that I wanted to refer to because it, like I said, it's a great insight into kind of perspective of how women are kind of put at a disadvantage in every which way possible. So she said, from the room temperature being set at a man's ideal temp, or, you know, counters or cabinets being ideally measured for men, it's really, it's insane on how much stuff is really catered towards men in the daily life that we just take for granted, we just accept it for what it is on the face level. So great point out. And, you know, the book is something I do want to talk about today. We don't have much time because I know you're a very busy person with all the great things you had going on in your life. But I think a big important thing is we want to talk about some of the revelations we found in the book. You know, the purpose of this podcast is, like you said, to educate more men, I would say, is my goal. But I think it's a great point that you also mentioned, is to educate women. I know this is a conversation that me and you've had before, so we'll kind of dive into it. Just the lack of support that women have for other women, for each other. I know me and you've talked in depth about how men should, you know, it falls on men to uplift women, to support them, and to, you know, kind of preach for them and fight for them. But I do think a great point that sometimes we don't mention is, are women doing the same for each other? Now you mentioned this is a great way for them to be educated. Now, I'm humbly will say, I don't know if they're going to want to listen to me talk about this, but, you know, just overall for a message that you said to be spread to women, I think we need to touch on that. So when you say educate women as well, you would assume the average person might think, oh, well, woman, most women are on board with, you know, hey, women are being, you know, shafted or being not supported in their daily lives. But do you think, what percentage of women do you think would actually be knowledgeable of how they're at a disadvantage and, you know, how twisted the world is for and skew of men?
Given recent political decisions, within the country, and women basically voting against their betterment and reproductive freedom, I feel like that just really shows kind of where we're at as women in the United States, at least. I will say, I don't want to blame like any specific person or even really bring politics into it, but I think as women, there's a lack of community between us, because I feel like we're almost pitted against each other in today's society. And I'm not saying that's all the men doing, but I just feel like there's this culture within today's society, and that makes, especially with modern day social media and everything else, like the lack of community, and women are known to gather while men are known to isolate. But I feel like us as women are isolating even more now, which is causing even more misinformation and just not being educated on certain topics.
Great points. And, you know, I forgot to give some background to you, Madeline, but, you know, you recently you graduated college, so, and you were part of a major sorority at the university level. So would you say how often would, or do you have a conversation with your sorority sisters about just overall the status quo? You know, especially living here in the United States, we're definitely at a disadvantage. Would that conversation come up often, or rarely, or a lot?
Never. The conversation would never come up. I feel like...
So, just to cut you off, never.
Never.
And all the times you've had events, you know, your daily, for people that don't know, Greek life can be very heavy on the engagement with your sorority sisters or, you know, fraternity brothers. So you see those people a lot. So you would say you've never had a conversation with someone, basically, or these conversations would never really occur.
Correct. It just wasn't, I don't know, everything was just very surface level. And I think that just goes back to our culture of social media and putting on a front and, you know, and I think people also, I don't think politics and people's, I don't know, people's rights should go hand in hand. Like, that shouldn't be like a sensitive topic because it is, we've now brought politics into it. But yeah, I think everything was just very surface level and we never had those types of conversations.
So, and just to give some men some insight, you think this is a comfortable subject that women are comfortable talking to each other about? Or is it something that's kind of awkward to mention? Or is it kind of like, I don't want to say, is it like kind of corny, but it like, is it, do you think a lot of women see like, wait, where's the disconnect? Do they not care really about the status quo for women? Do they think it's corny or kind of goofy, especially for a younger audience, like college girls from probably 18 to 25? Or do you think they just plain out are like not educated at all to what's happening? Now, it might be a mix of everything, but like, what would you say kind of on each of those kind of points? How would you rank them? How would you talk about them?
I feel like my perspective is, I feel like a lot of women, the baseline is honestly fear. Like, I feel like they don't want to think too deeply about things because I think it would cause fear in them. And that's why we do stay so surface level, because I think if they were to start thinking deeply about where we're at right now, I think it would cause a lot of fear. So I think that they're in avoidance and denial, and because it is a hard pill to swallow. It's something that I, even though I would like to call myself an aware and educated woman, it's still something that it's hard to overcome that fear that comes with knowledge. Like, people say ignorance is bliss, and I feel like they know that and they know deep down, but they're just too afraid to confront those feelings. So they'd rather just not talk about it and not have it in conversation.
And I think that's a great point. And
can I say one more thing?
Yeah, go ahead.
I also, I know we're speaking a lot about the lack of education, but one of the big points in the book Invisible Woman is, it's, you know, about data bias in a world designed for men. So there is just a lack of data. That's what the main points in the book are, is that there's not a lot of data on us. Whenever they test cars for safety reasons, they don't put a woman's body, like the dummy in there is not a woman's body, it's a man's body. So I feel like there's just a lack of data, therefore there's lack of resources for education, because there's no ground for that education to stand on without any data, because we've only really researched men up until this point. We're finally starting to wake up a bit, but we have so much time to catch up on compared to men. So I feel like that's why there's it's hard to educate, because there's not numbers and science and things behind it, because never really cared to research us. So I feel like I don't want to put all the blame on women, saying, oh, it's your fault because you're not educated. Well, there's not a lot of resources to do so.
So to kind of propose a solution, because I think that's a big thing that I want to do with my time on this project, is what are some reasonable or some actionable steps that women can take if this is something they do care about, they do want to learn more and do more?
Like I said, up until this point, I feel like we're starting to finally see change and resources a bit. So just reading and talking to others when you are, even if it is a scary, scary thing, I think there should be less of a stigma around it. I think that we should get more comfortable as a society. So I think just trying to find that confidence and maybe surrounding yourself with other women, if possible, that are reflecting those values and thought processes as well. But again, I think also just giving yourself grace as a woman in this time period, and then also I think holding yourself to a higher standard when it comes to men and wanting them to step up and show some initiative and like want to learn more. So just holding yourself to a higher standard, but also giving yourself grace during this time.
And a big thing is the race part, because you can't change this overnight. You can't make the world an equal place. That is the goal, obviously, just like with global warming and, you know, big challenges that do face the world of that kind of nature. And I would say this is probably the biggest one. But it is something that's going to take time. And while it might not change over the next 50 years completely, it might not go from, you know, 0 to 100, you can go 0 to 20. And well, that's something like that. Well, that's not enough. It's really about the progression part, like you said.
Yeah, it's better than nothing.
Yeah, it's becoming more aware and, you know, also demanding more from the men that you engage with or the men that you have in your life, whether it's a husband, a boyfriend, fiance, brother, friend. I don't know what else, huh?
Father,
especially fathers. How do you challenge them, and how do you also allow them to see your world, the world through your eyes? You know, can they be empathetic? Can they be put themselves in your shoes to kind of understand why women are so some women are so passionate about equality and, you know, for reform and change. So I think women in general can do a lot for that strong cause. But like you said, it's about being first, I would say, more knowledgeable of what's going on, and also, you know, being okay with change being slow and you know, requiring multiple steps. So I do want to ask, I can answer the question, but how many times would have you felt that a man has generally cared for your place in society as a woman? Like, hey, my brother or my older brother, let's say, for example, if you had an older brother, he really, you know, it talked to me or heard me out about my worries about birth control access. Is that something you feel like you've had happen a lot in your life?
Not until I met you.
Okay, so you feel like that's something that a lot of men don't do?
Definitely not.
Okay, and I think the reason I bring that up is because you're the person that when you educated me on it, I also, you know, brought it back and we had conversations about it, but it was because you connected a emotional awakening or emotional thoughts that were occurring in my head, and you kind of connected it with data, but also another woman's experience. So it just kind of added on, like, oh, this is happening, you know, across the whole face of a woman. It's not just, yeah. So
I'm speaking also from a place of privilege, being a white woman living in America.
Yeah.
I'm still, even as a woman, I'm still speaking from
a place of privilege.
Privilege.
Of course. So, and I think that's big for the male audience here, is it is required of you to be emotionally intelligent and understand the hardships and, you know, try to understand the emotions that the woman in your life are having due to some things you might understand, just because your perspective is so limited as a man, especially if you don't expose yourself and challenge yourself to broaden it. So I just want to touch on that, because that is something that I conducted a survey at the University of Texas with all the Greek life on campus. And that was a big thing that a lot of women said. More than 95% of women felt like they've never had an actual conversation about fears or, you know, hardships with a man in their life, whether it be, like I said, a partner, a father, or a family member. So just wanted you to emphasize that it doesn't really happen. So, you know, to call out to men to, you know, be those providers or, you know, those, I guess, you know, whatever men want to call themselves nowadays, you know, just be human, to be compassionate towards the other humans in your life, because women, I know the great thing about Invisible Woman that says women aren't really seen as human, a human, or, you know, a whatever the word is.
Well, for, think about it, yeah.
Well, for like the, for like ape, for what? Oh my God, what are we called? I'm gonna leave this in because I just had a brain fart. Boy, not mankind, but well,
think about it.
The homo thing. What is the homo sapien? I'm gonna have to edit that. The homo sapien. When referred to that, it really means all humans, but the world sees it as just man. So, you know, if we men pride ourselves on being, you know, these, like, I guess leaders, you know, why can't we lead in every aspect, which also includes emotionally, and leading a new charge, or taking over this cause, or, you know, being an assistant at least. So I just wanted to touch on that real quick. And then, you did mention a great point that I just want to kind of tidbit on a little bit before we wrap this up and we leave the crowd with some suggestions on how men and women can be more impactful with this conversations that we're having for this topic. Is, you said you're privileged, you're speaking from a privileged place because you're a white American woman, and, you know, being in America does allow you some privileges. So can you give me like one or two examples of how you're more privileged than another woman, or just describe how other women across the world are in worse horrific situations than, per se, someone here in the United States?
That's a tough question, because at the same time that I almost feels like I'm speaking, like, just, it's almost like you speaking on my behalf as a woman. So I can present data, though. I can.
That's what I meant to say.
Yeah, yeah.
Dependable.
Speak on facts. Women of color are obviously, just talking in the United States, are less likely to have access to health care now because of the abortion bans in place. So me as a white woman, I would be able to, if needed, if I was needing life-saving care, I would be able to cross state lines to, you know, get that health care. But women of color are less likely to be in the financial situation that I am in. So they might not be able to get the care that they need. They're less likely to. Speaking about women in other countries, though, there's so, I was even uneducated on what's going on around the world for other women. It's almost even just hard to speak about, like, what they're going through.
I think it's important that we do mention some of the horrific, just really inhumane things that women are across the world. And the reason I say this is because it's in the book, and it really shows you that America is not even really the worst, which is saddening to say, but there's many women across the world that are facing more difficult challenges. And it's heartbreaking because there's really no conversations happening about it, happening about them. So it kind of shows you, like, if this is going on that we know about, what isn't going on, you know, how bad is it really? So I just want you to kind of just give us an example based on the data that the book provides, just to kind of put in perspective what it really looks like in these other countries, in these third world countries, or these countries around the world, on the challenges that they're facing on the day in, day out.
Okay, so whenever you Google the top role for women in the world, homemakers is the term that comes up. And we see this a lot, in, especially under other countries where they don't have the same access to education, job access, all of those things. So that's kind of what their role is deemed as. And I want to pronounce this wrong, but in Orissa, in women in Bangladesh, they prefer to use certain cook stoves because that is what is accessible to them in their home. And the, what is it called? Health, not health. It's like our version of like health, not healthcare, but the health safety in Bangladesh came out and said basically that it's causing a certain pollution that's causing cancer and all of these things. And they enforced replacing these stoves and they brought out new ones. And but the cook time on those stoves were extremely, extremely higher. So they just reverted back to using these other stoves because they have to get things done around the house. That's, and it's causing them cancer. And that's not something that men are having to deal with because they aren't in those roles. And in other third world countries across the world, even simple things as using the bathroom is different for women. Some women in third world countries have to walk for miles to find a safe bathroom to use. And on the way there, many, many women, statistics are crazy high, you know, getting sexually assaulted, just trying to walk to the bathroom. And they have to walk. They have to walk miles. And me as an American white woman are not having to deal with or even think about those kinds of things.
And I think it's important to, you know, highlight these because these are real things that are happening across the world. And we might not hear about it because we're in a different country, but these are women in need of help. And it emphasizes why we need to change and why it starts with whoever's listening to this podcast is, what can you do and how can I bring along others? Because that is inhumane and that's not what this world needs. So thank you for sharing that. I know we're towards the end of this because, like I said, you have a busy schedule. But what is one piece of advice or one call to action you want to give the audience? And I want to go with mine first. I challenge whether it's a man or a woman listening to this. Can you pull someone aside and have a conversation like this with them? And, you know, obviously maybe someone that you might be more comfortable with, not just a random coworker or something. Just kind of feel off guard. But if it's someone that's important in your life or that you care for, that you can have a conversation about this and just kind of see, you know, how much do they know? How educated are they on this, on these topics? And, you know, hey, can you support me in this, or, you know, what way can you support me in my cause, in my goals that I have for this? Because these are awkward and, you know, difficult conversations to have, but that is what change requires, is difficult conversations and truthful conversations, honestly. So that's my call to action to everyone listening to this, is have those conversations with someone that you care about and someone that you need them to care about. So also kind of put that call to action on their shoulders, because the more we kind of rely on each other, I feel like the more we can gain. So that's my call to action if you want to leave the audience with one, and that, you know, and I think that would be a great way to end this.
I think my call to action would be kind of bouncing off you here. There's such an importance of having small conversations. That is very, very true. But I think also do not limit yourself and your capabilities to speak louder and to take larger action, if possible, to not be scared of it. After recent things in politics, it drove me to take bigger action, and don't let anyone doubt your capabilities or make you doubt yourself when it comes to speaking up for what you believe in. Don't put any type of limitation on yourself, especially if you're a woman, and stand up.
I think that was great. Well, Madeline, I want to thank you for your time and your input today. Like I said, you had a great deal of impact on me and my project. So shout out to you. And, you know, I hope someone, or at least someone, gain some kind of value or you know, some insight from these conversations, and you know, uses it for the betterment of women and for the world. So thank you guys for listening. It's been your host Israel with a special guest today.
Thank you for having me,
Miss Madeline. So thank you guys, and I will see you on the next one. And remember, what you put in this world is what you'll get out of it. Bye.